I can tell a story.
Why?
I can.
You could, sure. Tell a story.
I'll tell you the story about, have you ever like found anything on like YouTube or Facebook or like TikTok or like a meal idea to it's like a whole recipe and everything. And normally those things work out.
Half my meals are that.
So we were shared a beef bourguignonese dish. So just to give you an idea of what this is meat cut down and soaked in red wine for like an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And then you like saute like this little bouquet of leeks and various fresh herbs, peeled pearl onions, fresh garlic, mushrooms, bacon, all of this like delicious, fantastic stuff. And then after everything's all cooked up and everything, you dump the meat and the wine into the same pan to deglaze it all. So all the flavor all mixed together. And you're supposed to put it in the oven to bake it. So what I did was yesterday I had a bunch of ribeye roasts that I had gotten on clearance that I was sitting on for a while. And I was like, if I let them go any longer, they're probably going to get freezer burnt. So I just went balls to the wall. I put one, did one in the smoker and did the other one. I cut down and did this.
Okay.
Cooked everything up. It wasn't even done cooking. And like, I'm just like eating pieces of it. Okay. I was preparing it for that way. It was ready to go. I had everything in the Dutch oven today. And according to the recipe, this was supposed to be put in the oven at 400 degrees for about 4 or 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Seemed high to me, but meh, whatever.
Right.
So have everything ready to go. And it was like an hour in. I text Kayla like, hey, how does it smell? Does it smell good? Oh my God, it smells so good. It smells so amazing. So I'm so excited. I get home from work and I smell something. I'm going to send you a picture. This is what happened. I came home and I'm like, wow, it smells kind of toasty. And I just get this thought in my head of like, wow, something doesn't feel right. And I opened it. My Dutch oven it's a nice red, like ceramic coated one. The red looked like a dark maroon because it was in there so dark. I pulled it out and took the lid off and it was just smoke everywhere. The ingredients turned into a burnt syrup at the bottom.
Oh my
and
God.
I've never been so sad.
I will do my best to remember to upload that picture if we use this for a bonus or not. That is a sadness, a depressing right there.
It was so sad. Now, because of that, Tuesday, I'm bound and determined because I can eyeball it. And now that, you know, I've realized because it's not my recipe. I never made it before.
Right.
You know, 400 degrees for that long doesn't sound right. But you know what? Whatever. So now I'm going to do it my fucking way and do it right.
You have to let me know how it turns out.
Oh, I hope it turns out as well as this first go around. I was taking handfuls of like partially cooked vegetables and meat and just eating them while I was doing this. Like just had soaked in butter and the beef stock that went in it. I just want you to know too. I made some meat sauce a while ago, where I actually got like beef shin and cooked it down overnight. I had real actual beef stock for this thing. This was like a Michelin star fucking dish and it was just ruined.
Oh, that's sad. That's some sadness right there. I've definitely had ones where I'm like excited when I see the video and then I go to cook them and I'm like, this is not what I wanted it to be at all.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Rye with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen for whatever reason to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. I am not alone. I am usually never alone. With me is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
Hi, everybody. We missed the show last week. We're going to get into why we missed the show last week. And it's all me. So prepare for a rant. But before we do that, let's go ahead and get into the credits and just get that out of the way. Behind our ugly mugs, you are seeing a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. Theme song for this show and all shows here on Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother, Nick Van Siders. We thank him for that. Our talking point tonight is going to be a kind of horrible experience of the year watch sort of thing. We're going to kind of look at what our experience of the year has been so far, since we're right around the halfway point.
Not as bad as it sounds.
Not as bad as it sounds. And so excited about that. We are going to get into something before fans reaction, though. You know what? I'm just going to get into it now. Right in the credits. I'll put credits and rant in this. Listen, here's the reason we didn't have a podcast last week. And it is because for about a day and a half, I decided I wasn't going to do the podcast anymore. And the reason I had decided it is because I can't do it anymore. The whole news, AAA gaming, whatever. I've given up on AAA gaming, basically, to the point where I'm having a hard time covering it, as in looking at IGN and looking for news stories. And I'm having a way hard time getting excited for slash playing slash wanting to purchase any games that are coming out, even the games that I was excited about before, because this kind of stuff that just keep happening just taints it. It just taints it for me. So obviously the catalyst for this is Microsoft, even though everybody told them they were going to lay people off, and Microsoft, no, we aren't. Laid off more people. Laid off inexplicable studios as well. Like, well, Arkane Austin, I would almost be able to be like, I understand, since Redfall was such a train wreck. With the exception of the fact that Redfall was a train wreck because of Xbox, not because of Arkane Austin, which is well documented. But then they laid off Tango Gameworks, which arguably made the best Xbox game last year in Hi-Fi Rush. And this shit just keeps coming. And I'm going to say this right off the bat. Any reason for these layoffs is an excuse. It is. This Microsoft is a $3 trillion company. That means they could pay everybody in America a living wage for a year, and there would still be money left over. Okay? So any red tape, any stockholders, any of that, any restructuring, any excuse that they're putting out there is bullshit. It is. These companies have ceased to be able to understand not only us, but what we want. And all they want to do is hurt us. That's all they want to do with their games. No, that's not true. All they want to do is make money. All they want to do is make money, and they don't care how we feel about it. And what I don't like is what I keep seeing now, and this is why I've kind of quit on it, is every game coming out is going to be a microtransaction games as service model from here on out. This is coming from a guy who genuinely was for games as service. But anything that you like that's going to come out from a AAA game company is going to be so jam-packed full of bullshit that you don't want or don't need or hurt you that it's going to taint the experience. Or it's going to be broken straight out the gate. The games that I've played, and we'll talk about this when we get to the talking point, the games that I have played this year that have truly blown my mind, the games that I'm truly excited about are small teams that make a game for a price, they sell it for that price, they give you what they tell you they're going to give you. One of my experiences of the year is a game that just came out 2 weeks ago. It's called Rotwood. It is a 2D brawler roguelite. It is in early access. It only costs $11. And the game is top to bottom amazing and possibly better than anything I've played AAA. Even when you look at stuff that I've enjoyed, Skull and Bones. I loved the gameplay of Skull and Bones, the fact that I have to somehow manage five different currencies of varying different premium and non-premium degrees is mind-boggling. And when you look at every one of the statements from every one of these companies, and I'm not talking about indie companies, I'm not even talking about AAA third-party companies, I'm talking about Xbox, Sony, Ubisoft, these kind of people, they are like, we are laying people off, we are making the team smaller so that we can make giant microtransaction-filled shitfests. I just can't do it anymore. Like, I just can't do it. Like, you, there is nothing but sadness on IGN for me every day when I open that app. And it becomes incredibly hard to come down here. And I know you guys have all heard this rant before. I get it. I've done this before. I get it. It gets so hard to come down here and talk about it for an hour and a half. Talk about a thing that I love with nothing but vitriol and hate. And I don't like experiencing that hate or that vitriol. So I'm not going to do news anymore. And I'm done with AAA companies for the foreseeable future. Skull and Bones will probably be my last big name purchase, because I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore. And the games that I'm playing right now is For Honor, which is an 8-year-old game. That's the only AAA game I'm playing, but it was an 8-year-old game. And then indie games. Eudon Chronicles, Rotwood, Slime Rancher 2. Those are the games that I'm playing right now and really into. I cannot follow down this path anymore. So I am going to, I want to talk about video games, and I want to talk about fun video game stuff here. I feel like even that, like, we get bogged down with it. So Neil still does news if he wishes. He will collect any news stories he wishes. If he has them to do, we will do a news segment, and I will react to anything he says. But I'm not going to doom scroll IGN anymore. I'm not going to bring any more to the table, because I just can't do it or think about it or spend any more time thinking about it than I have to. So,
Just to cut in a little bit on this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I will continue to collect little newsy bits. It'll be more of like a news desk sort of situation. What I'm probably going to start doing is more so go over stuff that I think that would be more in line with what is, you know, stuff that we've talked about in the past, or like in line with something that we think is cool, unless it is some massive earth-shattering thing. Like,
well, and in fairness, these layoffs were pretty massive and earth-shattering, so we would probably have talked about it anyway. And,
truthfully, like with this, with the layoff thing and everything, I had originally, when the news story first broke, just a little behind the scenes thing here. When the news story first broke, I just put it down in like an odd and end news bit that I was just going to cover at length, because it started with like, wow, this is a big layoff. You know, they said they weren't going to do these layoffs. They turned around, went and did these layoffs, and then, okay, well then, the next day there's a little bit more come out, like, oh, I guess I get to tack it on a little bit more to that. And then as time has gone on, it's been 2 weeks basically since this has happened, and there's just shit keeps going, like the foot in mouth responses of Microsoft, the now generalized fear across all of Microsoft's other studios that they now, like, there are widespread reports now of people knowing that if they have a game that does not succeed, they're going to get shit canned. The guy who's the head over at Tango Gameworks, after that Microsoft made a statement about they want to focus their attention on more award-winning games, I'm sure you saw this, went on Twitter and shared a picture of all of the awards that Hi-Fi Rush won, with the simple statement of more or not enough. Something like that. Like, it's been getting terrible, and then Microsoft's general self-destruction in regard to, like, you know, Senua's Saga, that's been hyped for years and years and years now is about to release, and we know nothing. We've seen nigh a commercial or anything.
And I'd be scared shitless if I was that company. If I was any company well, under the Xbox banner at this point, I would be scared shitless. There was a story on IGN where they were like, is Xbox Game Pass still worth it? And unfortunately, I do still think it is a good value in gaming, but when you look at what they do, that's another thing too. Like when you look at what they're doing, like how they are basically like reaming out the industry, it's frustrating to even support it. You know, I have considered if I had more money, I would walk away from Game Pass. But unfortunately, Game Pass saves me hundreds of dollars yearly, so yeah. I just can't. But like, if I had more money, I would walk away just on principle. I think that like. Yeah, it's just bullshit. It's all bullshit.
It definitely has gotten to a critical mass to even like the official Xbox podcast, the Podcast Unlocked.
I saw those.
After all of this news came out with the layoffs, they had an hour and a half long episode where I did not hear them say one good thing about Microsoft. Like,
nor should they.
It's getting kind of rough out there with that sort of stuff.
The reason they're doing this is so that they can make these like these shitty like microtransaction fests. Basically, everybody wants to make only Destiny and Fortnites from here on out. That's what they want. They want Destinies and they want Fortnites. And that's it. That's all we're going to get. Oh, or Call of Duties. Destinies, Call of Duties, Fortnites. That's what we want. We want from now on. So all of our studios are going to be making those or they're going to be fucking off. That's what's really irritating to me. Really irritating. Ubisoft just canceled, what, like 5 projects?
Yeah. I actually, just because we're kind of talking about it, all of the little newsy things that I've collected over the past 2 weeks effectively all relate to this.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm just going to dump them here now and we'll have an upside down episode.
This episode's all upside down, but it's fine.
Yeah, well,
timestamps are going to be fucked on this one, guys. Just
it's going to be everywhere.
Time is right now.
So, I mean, just a couple things to go over here. Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers blames Suicide Squad in and of itself for its $200 million loss in the last quarter. They said we had a strong prior year with Hogwarts Legacy and we were expecting the same return on Suicide Squad.
Why?
It's just not it, guys.
They're completely different games.
Completely different games.
And Hogwarts doesn't have any fucking microtransactions in it, you fucking lunatics. Like,
Andrew Wilson of EA said that they are now looking at thoughtful implementation of ads in games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the memes since that's shown up. They're showing like lots of EA games where like there's like a part in Dead Space where you're about to lay down in a table and you have to do like this needle thing. And there's just like they're in the middle of doing it. And then out of the blue, there's a big Whopper commercial. Like that's what it's going to wind up being.
Yeah.
Even Square Enix now is going to be completely. They want to move away from single platform releases and do like multiple like multi-platforms now, and like they're looking more so they want to go even heavier in live service stuff because they're just not making all of the money.
What blows my mind is they're not even making money from these fucking things. You look at the one people who are really making money in the last couple of years, fucking Larian raked all the cash in. They don't have a games as a service. They don't have any microtransactions in their game. It's a large form narrative story driven game. What are you doing? Nobody wants this. And I don't know where the model got circulated that these games as services in the way that they're presenting them is the way to go. Like just Destiny. Especially since Destiny itself is starting to fail. Like, Destiny is having bad turnover now. Like, they have been talking about how Destiny is a loss. Like, Destiny isn't even Destiny anymore. What is it going to take for these people to do this? And it's just, you just watch all these people lose their jobs. And the Redfall thing, really makes me irate, because we found out so much stuff after the Redfall that Arcane Austin didn't want to make it. Yep. They didn't want to make it the way that Phil Spencer and Matt Booty wanted them to make it. They were forced to make it that way. Then they were rushed. They cut their time in half because they needed a release. They forced them to release it in the state that it was in. So, like, should we divert all the blame from Arcane Austin for Redfall? No. But would we have a good game, or at least a playable game that we enjoy, if Xbox hadn't been a part of it? Now, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, you look at Arcane Austin and you look at their track record of games, whether they sold or not, they were quality products, hands down. I mean, because they're the Dishonored guys, right? They're Dishonored and Dishonored 2. Quality fucking products, okay? All of a sudden, Xbox gets its hands on it. It's a microtransaction bug fest because Spencer and Booty just push shit out the door. And then you have Hi-Fi Rush, which is actually a success. It was the only success story for Microsoft. There was tons of people hailing it as, like, this is the start of it getting good for Microsoft fans.
Yeah.
You know? And you closed the studio. Inexplicably. You know? And, like, if you want to come at me with, like, cost-cutting or weird certifications on the back end or shareholder responsibilities, I will listen to you if the studio is any other than Microsoft, because Microsoft is a $3 trillion company and there is no amount of red tape that you can't fix with that amount of money. Like, there's just none. So, like, there's no excuse for this. None. I can't fathom this shit anymore. I just can't, and it hurts, because I sit down to play my game, and I have to hear in my head, they just laid off all these people, they're all out of work, you know, and they've saved a rapist, and shit like that, and it just, just can't do it.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me, not to belabor everything with this here, but the big problem that I have with all the closures and layoffs and everything, because they said this is now restructuring. Back when this Activision Blizzard deal went through, they said straight up and down, we aren't gonna purge anybody, we aren't gonna do anything like this. Basically, effectively, once the calendar rolled over, they purged over 1,000 people.
Yep.
And they said, well, this was planned from the start. This wasn't a part of any of this, but this was it. This was it, guys. We promise. Pinky swear. This was it. It's ready to go. And now, what, 4 months later, effectively, now we've gotten studio closures. Mm-hmm. And some people have been shifted around. Some people, you know, out with it. But even still, like, what's the excuse this time? Well, restructuring. Okay, fine. But they're restructuring and shifting people around between, like, they're putting some of these people in Activision spots, and Activision people are getting moved around within the company too. So, I mean, they didn't say they were going to do this from the jump, which is something that they probably, you know, should have assuaged fears of. But now, like we mentioned, it's crazy. It's crazy because they've been making announcements about hardware the day after all this shit came out. Mm-hmm. Did you see the controller?
Yeah.
The controller thing?
Yeah,
Feel the burn. Yeah. Feel the burn. Day after we just shut down all these studios, we're going to release a flame-themed controller. Oh, and by the way, make sure you guys are ready for the upcoming game showcase in the summertime here, when we're going to basically announce the next Doom game and all but confirming that we're going to have an Xbox handheld going on at that point. Stay tuned, guys.
Well, and I hope you're ready for Doom 3 to have to be Doom Destiny, because that's what it's going to be. I feel like all of them are going to be there. There is nothing on the horizon that excites me in the AAA market anymore because of this shit. Like, it just doesn't. Like, there is a reason I'm playing an 8-year-old game right now. And yeah, it has microtransactions, but I played it 8 years ago and I'm used to those microtransactions. Skull and Bones had 6 fucking currencies. I can't keep track of that shit.
Right.
You know, the games that I'm truly excited about are obviously Rotwood, Towerborn, Mirthwood. Like, independent, interesting, quality stuff like, that's where I'm going to be dropping my money. That and DLCs for that. I don't know. I've got to find the joy in gaming again. The AAA market isn't doing it for me. There's nothing on the horizon that even remotely interests me. And, it's just a bummer, you know? And it's even worse, too, because when you see trailers that do interest you, you just... You have to think about, like,
fuck it up.
How are they going to fuck that it up or fuck us? Because Dragon's Dogma looked great, and then they turned around and put microtransactions. Yeah. They're not that bad microtransactions, but still, the fact that they weren't in there in any way, shape, or form, and no one knew about them, and then all of a sudden they pulled a 180, that kind of shit is just going to keep happening more and more and more. And the same with everything else. Like, I don't want to see the trailer and it'd be great and then find out that it's Destiny. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. All right. So that was the credits section of this show. we'll be right back with Fan Traction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, thank you for your understanding on all things. I don't have the mental fortitude for the news anymore, I guess. But we're in Fan Traction now, which is everybody's favorite segment. This is where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans, read out your comments where we find them. Obviously, this is from 2 weeks ago, so pardon our memories ahead of time. Jason starts us off. My taste in gaming hasn't changed that much. Mostly just shifted how much I like the different kinds of games I like. I used to love JRPG and CRPG. Sandbox games were just things I farted around with. Now I much prefer sandbox games, and the RPGs really need to be special or I get bored with them. Parentheses, BG3 and Wasteland 3 are really the only standouts I can think of lately. I always loved building things, whether it was SimCity or Sims, or making Neverwinter Nights modules or whatever. I still love building, especially in survival games. Dead by Daylight is an anomaly. I still don't understand, since I hate these versus stuff. And yet I've spent shit ton of money on it, and I can sit there and play it for hours if nothing else has me. Like Sea of Thieves and Warframe lately. Well, first of all, you named a lot of really quality games in there that I do love. A lot of games that are shining examples in games as a service marketplace, in my opinion, when it comes to, like, making a quality game instead of just trying to make Destiny again. But that being said, man, value is determined by you. So, like, you like Dead by Daylight. You have fun. If you do and you spend money on it, then it's worth it, you know? I think, other than that, I get it. BG3 and Wasteland 3 are really good CRPGs. They're great. And, everything else, I agree with. Any comments there, Neil?
Yeah, I think it's just more so going back to, you know, the value is determined, you know, by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's been tons of different games that I've played or purchased multiple times. Like, you know, we've talked about this before. Anytime basically there's a new Sonic game come out, or a new collection of the Sonic games, rather the old ones, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, I'm gonna buy them. Regardless of, even with the Sonic Origins, how much we knocked on that, the second that thing went on sale, I picked it up. You know, I'm always gonna find value in that. Something like, you know, Undertale, you know, played through quite a few times. I bought it for $20, you know, just an indie game. And the whole thing, you know, one playthrough is about 3 to 4-ish hours, depending on how you go through it. You know, something like that, sure, that's worth $20 to me because I've played through it so many times. The reason, that's basically the whole reason why people buy multiple copies of games, because they see the value of having that somewhere else. I have Street Fighter 4. I have upstairs, I have a couple different copies. I have over here on the shelf, I have my collector's edition that's got a whole bunch of crap in it with movies and soundtracks and statues. And I have the game on Steam.
You know, it is well known and often lamented podcast lore of how many times each of us have bought in Skyrim.
Yeah, that yeah.
So, I think with microtransactions, look, I know we did just spend about 20 minutes hating on them. I don't like microtransactions when they're put there specifically to prey on you, or put there in a way that doesn't make sense. But at the same time, microtransactions are just like anything else. It's not evil or good. It's just a gray area that sometimes has a use. You know what I mean? Microtransactions have their place in the industry. It's just the problem is that the industry doesn't quite understand where that place is. Again, I am on record as saying that Dead by Daylight should have probably been free with the amount of microtransactions it has in it. And that because it's in Game Pass, people just kind of like assume it's free to play when it's not. That being said, they are a games as service-y game. It's an online versus game. That's where the microtransactions belong. And if you're getting fun out of those expenditures, then it's worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had this really interesting back and forth. Because remember my news story about the 177 countries that got removed? Ghost of Tsushima got removed from.
Oh yeah, with the whole PSN login thing.
So yeah. Like the whole PSN thing was like, I think we talked about it in the resolve too, because they walked it back, but Steam had already taken Helldivers out of sale in any place where PSN didn't exist, which was like 177 countries, and then. Instead of saying, okay, now that game's available there again, they decided to just go ahead and make Ghost of Tsushima not available for it either. Although, I think that's because Ghost of Tsushima has an update that's going to require PSN. So, it's 177, so he says 177 countries, there's only 200 recognized countries in the world. Which led us to an interesting discovery. Because I'm like, that doesn't seem right. I'm going to double check. So, I double checked and I was like, I double checked. It's 177. Apparently PSN is only a thing in 33 countries. Ghost of Tsushima just got removed from the same 177, so I don't think it's an IGN typo. To which he came back and was like, I looked at the specific numbers, and there's 195 recognized countries, not 200. So it's only 18 that PSN is in. Edit, there's 193 countries, the Vatican and Palestine, in that 195 number. So, yeah, so only 18 countries, 18 recognized countries have PSN and have access to these games. Again, this is AAA gaming being dumb. They've literally shot themselves in the foot, making it impossible for people in these countries to get them. It's insane.
Yeah, and a little addendum to that. I mean, sure. They basically have come out and said that it's confirmed by Sony. Yeah, we're the ones who made this happen, because there was some back and forth as to who it was actually responsible. Because first, everybody thought it was Arrowhead with Helldivers. And then from there, Steam games started going away. Like, oh, well, maybe it's Steam. Steam has some sort of handshake agreement. No. Right. It's actually Sony. Any game that requires PSN, you will not be able to play. Which is, again, beyond me.
Stupid.
Why? Yeah, stupid. I mean, you can't just register an email, like, or you don't have some other workaround to where seriously. You can just have something.
Fucking stupid.
Connect it to your Facebook, for shit's sake. That's what everybody else does. I mean, hell, yeah, that's how I log into
Taco
Bell, I think.
Why do you need to connect Ghost of Tsushima, a single-player, narrative-based game, to any sort of network? That's the mind-boggling thing right off the bat.
They can collect and sell your data.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking bullshit. I think that, like, I don't know. It's absolutely asinine, and it's dumb. And I felt bad for the Arrowhead guy, the CEO of it. He got real, like, weird on Twitter for those couple of weeks because his game got review bombed. And, again, the game's not bad, but I'm going to tell you right now, if they pulled that shit on me, my review is going from good to bad. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of deserves it, not because of the company or the game, but because of what is happening, you know? And right. he would post weird things like, it started off sunny today and then it started raining. Kind of a metaphor for my life right now. Like stuff like that. Like I'm like, somebody needs to check on that dude, man. He's, I don't know if he's okay.
It can't rain all the time.
And then Jason says, today on the puke cast, because I believe we talked about puke.
Yes, we talked ad nauseum about, and I just want you to know, too, there are still some things that I cannot eat or look at.
Yes, yeah. So follow up on the puke cast. And then William Holwyn. Hi! Exclamation point. About the topic of aging and gaming, I can say that I used to love long JRPGs. It was a big game seller for me to see 100 hours of gameplay on the box. Nowadays, I love short games, like arcade-type games that focus on score, or games with stage select. It's pretty rare for me to play long-winded games. The exception for me these days is the Trails series. Also, man, this is crazy. I've played Stellar Blade. It was great, and uploaded a video on the boss finisher move. It got freaking 31K views. Wow, congrats, Will. At the time of writing this, still getting a lot of views. It was crazy ride to get that many views and comments. Great distraction from the strike. Day 70 today. Man, I hope it's over by now for you. All right, enough ramblings. Thanks for the show. Cheers. Hashtag old man gaming literally. I'm going to tell you right now, man, it is so wonderful to get K views for the first time. My first one was the review of Dauntless, and it got like 1,000 K, and it's basically the reason that I like jumped off the cliff into old man gaming. And there's just something so satisfying about getting those high views. I will warn you, though. There is also the reverse. When you get those high reviews and everybody fucking hates you. I'm looking at you, Monster Hunter people. Go fuck yourself.
Say, go it's the reason you started yourselves. To steer away from Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go fuck yourselves, Monster Hunter people. Yeah. I had one video. Oof, that was a rough one. But yeah, it's really nice to have that, like, hit and get those comments and stuff. I always feel bad because sometimes I get a lot of comments on them and I can't keep up with them. I've done a couple of how-to videos for GM mode and they pop off really good. Like it'll be like how to add your created characters to yada yada. And those usually pop off, but they'll ask me questions and like I can't get back to them. I feel so bad. You know, like I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that is it, my friend. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or should we do our talking point, I guess?
Let's do our talking point now.
Now that the show's almost over. So our talking point today, we're about halfway through the year, a little bit under. We're a little bit early on this, but about halfway through the year. So we're going to look at, Horrible Game Awards contenders for us and what we think are contenders. We're just going to take a look at our lists and talk about them a little bit. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So yeah, we'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, guys. So we're looking at Horrible Game Award Watch. It's apparently not going to be big for Neil. He does not have a lot. I keep up a copious list. I'll show you guys right here on my phone. Oh, I got too much glare. There it is. See? And then slowly, as I add them, if I have too many in there already, I have to check the ones off that don't quite live up to it. So I have a ton to talk about, honestly. So how would you like to do this?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll just do mine.
Go for it.
I mean, the only game that I've actually had time to play at all this year is the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Mm. I mean, granted, we are still playing through Baldur's Gate 3, yeah. which is still definitely a great experience for us, aside from the little side story I just told Zach off camera a minute ago here, where we lost like an hour and a half of progress because of a dumb glitch. But outside of that, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of it's a lot of the same sort of stuff when it comes to Rebirth, but I'm on record as saying, depending on the game itself and what that game brought the first time around and where it has areas to improve, mm-hmm. I think Rebirth has done that. Because Remake was very much stuck in the fact that it was the first part of everything that you know of. So everything was just like the same songs remixed like 8 times. So you're tired of hearing everything. For the most part, up until a certain point, beat for beat, one-to-one with the story. But now with this, there's a lot more divergence. They've taken chances with music, even like the systems themselves in the game. I'm thoroughly enjoying it whenever I get to play. And then, of course, like I said, Baldur's Gate 3, we're still going through that. We still have not finished our first playthrough. Granted, we don't play very often, just because of the time that we have available, which is part of the reason why my list is so light. But I almost feel like this year compared to like we were spoiled last year. We were spoiled for choice last year, very much so. And this year there's already, you know, Sony's basically said they don't have anything coming out. Nintendo's looking pretty light aside from potentially the Thousand Year Door remake, but that's just a remake. And then, you know, whatever Microsoft has up their sleeve for the rest of the year, who knows? All but confirming another Doom game. But, yeah. I mean, for me, yeah, my list is very light. I really haven't had time overall between work and school to really get out there and try different things.
I have played a few games, sir, and I will agree with you. I think this year is going to be a heavy indie year. I think there's a lot of games coming out this year that I'm very excited about. Mirthwood is one that is really looking interesting to me. Towerborn, obviously, I've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. But as far as my experience right now, I have 4 on there. I think 2 of them are going to get bumped when something replaces them. But I have Pal World. Because that was released in our post our window closing, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's on here. And I think that's just got to be kind of looked at in some way just because of the phenomenon that that was and in some ways still is. Skull and Bones, because I did put a lot of hours into it. As annoying as some of the ancillary stuff was, I had a lot of fun with the core gameplay for a very long time. And then Eodin Chronicles and Rotwood. Eodin Chronicles is the spiritual successor to Suikoden, the third largest Kickstarter ever. And there's a lot of mixed stuff about Eodin Chronicles, unfortunately, because there was a lot of features that were kind of promised that aren't happening now. And there's a lot of people who are like, hey, remember how we put money in so that that could happen? It's not happening. So there's some controversy around Eodin Chronicles, but I think that the game itself is a very good spiritual successor to Suikoden, and it definitely accomplishes its goal. It's the only JRPG I ever loved was Suikoden, and Eodin Chronicles definitely has me still a little bit. But my main one with a bullet right now is Rotwood. Something's going to have to usurp it to take it. Rotwood, for me, right now, is easily my best game of the year. From a lot of different standpoints. Not necessarily the game itself is the best, right? But if you add it up as a total package. So, like, this was a game that I did a demo during the Steam Next Fest last year. I did a demo. And I actually put, like, a 2-minute video preview up. I did, like, 3 different demos, and I put one up of that. And I wasn't expecting it to come out soon. Then all of a sudden they were just like, we're going to release it into early access and it's going to be $10. And I was like, okay, how rough is this? But I'm like, I'll shell out $10. This game is amazing. I would have easily paid 4 times the amount that they made this for sale for. I almost feel like they undercut themselves. And for an early access game, I have not hit one bug, not one little lag shift, not one little issue. And this is a game that's a brawler. It requires precise timing for it to be fun or interesting. Just to give everybody out there who doesn't know what Rotwood is, because it's a little bit lesser known. It is like you create a character that's like kind of like a weird animal thing, and then you like you can make the character, you can customize the sprite of the character. Then it's a 2D brawler through like tainted woods. And you fight your way through tainted woods, like getting upgrades and stuff like that. And if you die, you go back to a camp, which you can also customize and build. There is also a up to four player co-op multiplayer that you can bring four players in to your game or go into other people's games. And then you kind of build buildings up in the original, in your camp area, wherever you want. It's completely customizable so that you can make it easier for you to go on these roguelike missions. There's also multiple different weapons and armor to choose from, so you have kind of like an interesting, like, it's not just you and your comboing abilities. One of the things that I absolutely love about this, and I've been saying forever, like, 2D brawlers have been getting a resurgence in the last few years. Very happy about this. I am a lover of all things 2D brawlers. That being said, they have to innovate. They have to start innovating and taking the stuff that exists in 2024 and adding it in to what they are. It's not enough that it's just another brawler. You know what I mean? It has to, like give me more. This game does that. What's really cool about these weapons is they did these really there's a weapon in there called the Strikers. They're my favorite weapons so far. There's only four weapons right now, but I very much think they're going to add more. It's two volleyballs, studded volleyballs, studded massive volleyballs. And if you punch or kick them, they fly across the field into people and deal extra damage. If anybody hits them, they bounce around dealing damage. And you can suck them to yourself and throw them again. And then it's all about like hitting people while knocking these balls around into people. It is so much fun and so different from the comboing of just like corner trapping a bad guy, you know. You've got the hammer, that's your straight up like brawler combo sort of thing. Then you've got like a spear, that's a faster version of the straight up brawler thing. Then you have a cannon, which is like a ranged weapon. I just love this game. It's doing such a different thing with such a small platform, and I cannot wait for it. The review, by the time this comes out, the review will have already been up on the Monday of this week prior. And I just love this game. Can't say enough about it. Especially at that price. $10, man.
Yeah, you can't really
quarrel
with a $10 game.
No.
In any form or fashion.
And I would have paid $40 for this, without a doubt.
Yeah, and it is wild that, like you mentioned, the brawler is starting to come back into its own here overall. It was one of those things, so it's almost like how fighting like 2D fighters were for a while. Like they dropped off and they were nowhere to be found, and now it's basically like that niche renaissance. They're having their own little renaissance right now. Coming back.
I fucking love it. It's amateur hour stuff, man. I love the brawlers, man. I love the brawlers. They are interwoven into the core of me. My favorite games of all time are brawlers. And I've always wanted the brawlers to kind of adapt that role-playing aspect, you know, a little bit more so that you can get more play out of them. And Rotwood really does that with a bullet. I'm hoping that Towerborn is an even bigger version of that. Those are my experiences. When we shift into multiplayer, it's For Honor. Interestingly enough, I think this will be the first time that if it makes the list, that a game will have been nominated for an award that's older than the awards themselves.
Yeah, that is a little bit interesting.
For Honor is 8 years old. The Horrible Game Awards is, I think, going to be 5 years
five?
Old? Six,
five
maybe?
Sounds right.
Five or six, somewhere in there. So yeah, it will be older than that if it gets nominated. And I think it has a good chance because quite a few members of the council got really into it with me. So I don't know. Skull and Bones, I think it's a good multiplayer game. I do. I hate the company that made it. I hate some of the bullshit around it. But I think at its core, it is a fun multiplayer experience. The game that I'd really like to make it that I don't think is going to is Lethal Company. This game This game is just, I can't even begin to explain Lethal Company. It's the weirdest fucking multiplayer experience you will ever have in your life. It's like sepia-toned horror, but it's almost comedic, and everything's almost badly animated, but you're trying to like scavenge stuff off planets. And it's so weird, but there's videos of it. There's a lot of popular streamers have done it, a lot of TikToks of it. Go check them out. It is the weirdest fucking game I've ever played. I've played that with a group of friends that I've really enjoyed it. And then Pal World, I think, is worth mentioning for multiplayer as well.
Yeah, I think I saw something about there being an update coming out here for Pal World relatively soonish.
Yeah, they've been doing some substantial updates to it. I think that I'm really waiting for that dedicated server update. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be really sweet. As far as developer, I have Klein Entertainment. They are the people who made Rotwood. I have Mike Klubnica. Now, the reason I'm nominating this guy is for my new IPs, Buckshot Roulette. This dude is one and only dude who made this game, and the game is just great. It's just absolutely great. Neil, the next time you're over, I'm going to make you play it, because I think you'll become obsessed with it. It's only $3 on Steam, and it's just so much fun. Quick and easy and fun. And then, of course, Pocket Pair. I think Pocket Pair probably deserves to win this the most of my people, like at this point, just because of the shit they've been through, you know? They're the guys who made Pal World, and they have really been up against the wall with all the Pokemon haters and the success that they can't really handle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Especially if they make it without actually selling to Xbox, that would be really great.
Yeah. You know, there is one game that, now that I kind of think about it, I almost wonder if I could feel confident enough putting up a nomination for, even though I haven't actually played
it. Go for it. Well, we're just talking hypothetically right now.
Anyway. You know, I think Helldivers 2 has a spot.
Yeah.
Helldivers 2 is one of those for multiplayer experience, you know, more so myself for the experience. This is a game that you can have not played it at all, like myself, and be totally invested in, like, all its jam, basically. Yeah. It is what I think of when I think of a live service game, what I want to see in a live service game. Yeah. Like, this is the first time I've seen a live service game that's like, you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
They have, you know, a game master effectively running everything. The narrative is that of like a meta narrative overall, like, and everybody's working together to do stuff with it. And, you know, on top of that, you know, the just various memes and running jokes. And did you hear about the friend guy?
Friend guy?
The friend guy. So I'm pulling this completely from memory because normally I would like write this down here. But there was a guy who didn't have like really any friends online to play with.
Okay.
He jumped in with some randos on Helldivers. And he was effectively getting taunted mercilessly by these people. They kept like killing him in the game and everything, and somebody said something to him about like, well, don't you go get some friends or something like that. And I guess he just responded with "am friend." And that kind of made its way out into the internet. And now like this dude has gotten hundreds and hundreds of friend requests. Everybody wants to play with this guy because everybody was, you know, such a D-bag to him. You know, like there's stuff like that, you know, the whole Sony PSN thing aside, everything about that game for the most part has been overwhelmingly positive with how they have even marketed everything, like with new factions and everything like that, going into the narrative of like, you know, some crazy political conspiracy theory, like the One Division. It's like it's flying insects or something like that. It was
there are no flying insects.
What are you guys talking about? It's not there. It's and then like people are showing, like posting screenshots of it, and it's like, oh, that's fake, that's altered. And it's like how they introduce the stuff. One of the developers, or I think it was actually the guy who's the game master, when they introduced the tanks or the mechs into the game, just decided to show up in the middle of a game, drop one, and leave. Like, that's how they introduced it. You know, it's cool stuff like that. That is a game, if I had the time for it, which now that school's done, I'm hoping I do. That is a game that I want to, like, pick up. And, and try, because that right there is something I feel like I could get down with.
If I had more money right now, that would be a Lasso 3 game all the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think I agree with you. They did have a lot of problems, but again, that's all from PlayStation. It's not from them. It is from PlayStation. I think Helldivers only suffers on my list because I haven't played it. If it was one that I had, you know, taken the leap into, I am sure it would be on my list. Same with Dragon's Dogma 2. I mean, they've done some crappy shit. We've talked about it. But overall, that game's a really good game. I think it's probably going to be an Experience of the Year contender come the time to vote. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be up there. I will say this, though. I don't necessarily think its victory is guaranteed. I think that... I think it's going to be a very interesting Horrible Game Awards. And we don't know yet, because we're only halfway through the year. But last year you had BG3 come in and just wreck shop. Like,
yeah,
they just walked over every fucking category we've had. And we've never had that as an institution. Like one game dominate so utterly and totally. I think this year we're going to be looking at a lot of, like, indie games being in the hunt, older games, indie games being in the hunt, because those AAA game companies are either making shit or not making anything at all. So, like, I think we're gonna have a very interesting Horrible Game Awards this year. But I think that covers it, unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, sir.
I don't have any real soundtrack ones yet. I had Eidolon Chronicles, because that's some good GRPG awesomeness. And then I got Skull and Bones for the shanties. Yeah, you can't fight the shanties. You can't fight the sea shanties, babies. You can't fight them. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back with some plugs and wrap it up.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show. And the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything, sir?
Yes, sir. We have finished Ordo Scriptorum.
Yes.
Or at least the first hunt of.
Yes.
Fun fact, this isn't going to mean anything to anybody except for you right now, but because I am a terrible millennial, I had never seen Buffy before, and Kayla's character is based off of a blend of two people, so I'm in the process of now watching said show.
I've never seen Buffy either.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, well, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I'm aware of it, but let me say this. It was a lot of fun. I do want to warn everybody, I don't know when it's going to be coming out, because we did learn some stuff from that that we weren't expecting to learn. So we had to make a couple of slight changes. Yeah. It kind of
know what those are.
Yeah. So it will still be coming out, but we want that show to come out with the actual release of the game. But we're looking to release that game kind of late June, early July. So that's when you can expect those episodes to come. That is kind of a long way off. But because we are done, we will be scheduling some sort of Lasso 3 stream or something here soon, I believe.
Yes.
As far as me, I have been actually doing some For Honor content, which has been a lot of fun. I did a highlight video for the first time, but since I'm such a self-deprecating sort of person, most of my highlights involve me dying. but I did that. I'm going to continue to do that. And if you are for some reason a For Honor player out there and know how to get me your highlight videos, send them to me and I'll add them to the highlight videos. I do want to say you got to be able to send them through Discord in a format that I will be able to download. other than that, there is one other For Honor thing that I kind of really want to plug. And I wanted to do this for a while. I'm doing this show called Fantasy Hero. So in For Honor, you pick a hero and you kind of fight through the battles. And they're random medieval. They're all based off medieval warriors from different cultures, or archetypes, right? So I'm doing one for each of the five factions that exist in For Honor. I'm really excited about it. I did the first show and I had a lot of fun doing it. Basically, I actually did a little art with it too. It is AI art, but don't get mad at me. I'm small time. but the first one we focus on the Brawler, which is a Viking character that I've been wanting to do for a while. And then each week for the first season, we're going to do all five of the factions, which I am very excited about. So please check that out. Other than that, we got a ton of stuff on this channel, from TTRPG stuff to video game related stuff. Shows out the wazoo. Please check anything out that you want. You can also contact us on Facebook at OldManGamingDH, on Twitter at OldManGaming9. You can join our Discord, links in the description below. Influence this in all of our shows from there. Hey, did we get it right? What's your experience of the year so far? Comment below. We'll read it next week and we'll talk about it. And again, thanks to everybody for their understanding on what we talked about at the beginning of the show. And we will see you guys next time. I had a pimple almost kill me this week.
Where's
that?
How does that happen?
So like last Sunday, I got a pimple, like, or an ingrown hair in my like beard hair, and then Monday it started to really swell up, and then Tuesday, it looked like I had mumps, like, on my face, like my whole face had just like swolled up. It was hard to the touch. I started to feel sick. Like legit, like, headache, sickness. My teeth started to hurt because it had gotten so big.
Oh.
So I put off going to the doctor. Wednesday, I get through most of my day, and then Melissa gets home and goes, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor right now. So I go to the doctor. I go to an urgent care. Guy comes in. He goes, woo. So I know I'm already in trouble. And then he looks at it, and he asks me, and I tell him everything I just told you. And then he goes, okay, all right, so have you exposed it to air at all? And I was like, well, I didn't try to pop it because I've heard horror stories about popping it. So I picked at it a little bit just to try and get it to vent some stuff. And a very small amount came out, but then it started to swell even more. So I was like, I'm not messing with this anymore. He was like, okay, so I don't want to open this or lance it because I don't want to expose it to any more bacteria. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. That was really weird. Discord just completely cut out for a second.
Oh, that's weird.
With the exception of I could still hear you, but it was a gray screen. I couldn't see you or anything. So anyway, to continue, he goes to lance. He's like, I'm not going to lance it because I don't want more bacteria in there. I don't want to take that risk. And then he looked at it longer, and he's like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. You put a warm compress on it as much as you possibly can, and I'm going to give you an antibiotic for it. You take two times a day. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and this next part is imperative. If that thing spreads to the neck in any way, shape, or form, or starts to swell back up again, you go immediately to the hospital. And I'm like,
why?
Yeah, exactly. I just looked at him, I'm like, why? And he's like, because then the infection is in your bloodstream.
He's like, Jesus.
He's like, you definitely have an infected ingrown hair or whatever, but it's out of control now. And if it gets into your bloodstream, you're in serious danger, and you need to go to the hospital. You need to get an IV drip of antibiotics. It's a whole nother ball game at that point. And I was like, okay, all right.
What the fuck, man? So
it gets worse, because then I go to my car. I go out to my car, and then I get a call. I get a car and start the car, call my wife, because at this point it's dinner time, and I'm like, I'll just pick something up. in the middle of talking to her about what we're going to eat, I get a call. So this is like less than 5 minutes from when I've walked out of the building. Mm-hmm. It's an undisclosed number. So I answer it just on a whim. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, it's Dr. RJ. You just saw him. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I did. And he's like, I really been thinking about it and how it looks, and I just don't like the looks of this thing. So I've decided to prescribe you 2 antibiotics. Take both of them twice a day until you're all done. And I'm just sitting there like, should I just go to the hospital now, man? Like, you're definitely scaring the crap out of me. But it's like, I'll try and show people on the camera. It's still nasty, but the camera, you can't really see it very well. It's all swollen around here. Neil obviously can't see it, but I could send you some very gross pictures of when it had first started. So, that was fun.
Wow.
It's been fun stuff for that.
I love how he was just like, this is the most important part.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Are you looking at me? Are you listening to me?
It was definitely that moment.
You need to make sure you pay attention. Like,
yeah,
bro,
yeah.
It's a zit. If you are this scared of a zit, cut it off at the head and just go to the ER.
I was like, oh, is this what above 40 is? Zits potentially trying to kill you? I think that, like, it's crazy to me that I've never received a call from a doctor in my entire life, like from an actual doctor. The doctor themselves called me personally to talk to me on the phone. I've never had that happen once. And this guy called me 5 minutes afterwards because he was scared of the zit on my face. I was very nervous, but it's gone down. It still hurts like a mother effort, but it's down mostly.